Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build an old-school DNB break roll in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple: crisp transients, dusty mids, and enough movement to make the section feel alive instead of looped. If you've ever heard that classic jungle pressure, where the drums seem to pull the track forward on their own, that's what we're chasing here. And the cool part is, we're doing it with stock Ableton tools and resampling, so you can get a gritty, finished sound without overcomplicating the process. Let's start with the vibe and the tempo. Set your project somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. That range sits right in the old-school DNB and jungle pocket, and it gives the break enough speed to feel urgent without turning into a blur. Now grab a break sample, an Amen-style break, a think break, or any dusty funk loop with a strong snare will work. Don't get stuck hunting for the perfect sample. A solid break with clear kick and snare hits is enough. We can shape the character later. Drag the break into an audio track and make sure it loops cleanly. If Ableton needs warp, turn it on and use Beats Warp mode. Preserve transients is the key setting here, because we want the drum hits to stay punchy and not stretched into mush. If the break feels slightly loose, that's okay. In fact, that human feel is part of the sound. Old school DNB lives in that push and pull between tight grid energy and natural groove. Now listen closely and line up the main hits with the grid, but don't overquantize everything. That's a beginner trap. If you flatten the feel too much, the break loses its personality. And in drum and bass, the drum groove is not just background timing. It is the engine. Next, we're going to chop the break. You can use sliced and MIDI track if you want to get more advanced, but for a beginner workflow, manual chopping is totally fine and often easier to hear. Cut around the kick, snare, and ghost notes. Keep the slices small enough that you can rearrange the groove, but not so tiny that it becomes random. Start by building a simple two-bar pattern. Think in terms of core movement first: kick for drive, snare for backbeat, ghost notes for shuffle and pressure. You might place a kick, then a little ghost note, then the snare. In the next bar, maybe another kick, a couple of ghost notes, and then a small fill into the snare. Keep it musical. You want a loop that feels like it's rolling forward, not just chopped up for the sake of it. Now let's shape the transients. Put drum bus on the break track. Start gentle, a little drive, maybe 5 to 15%. Then push transients up, somewhere around plus 10 to plus 30, depending on the sample. Keep crunch low at first. Boom should be subtle or off for now. That transient control is a big deal. We want the snare and kick to still slap through the mix, especially once the bass comes in. The goal is punch, not destruction. After drum bus, at EQ 8, high pass the low rumble around 25 to 35 Hz to clean things up. If the break sounds boxy, make a small cut somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz. And if it needs a bit more snap, give it a gentle lift in the 3 to 6 kHz range. Don't overdo it. We're trying to keep the break crisp, not brittle. If the break is too spiky, you can add a compressor with a modest ratio, maybe 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, a slightly slower attack, and a medium release. Just a few dB of gain reduction is enough. The point is to control the peaks without flattening the groove. The snare should still breathe. Now for one of the most important moves in this lesson: resampling. Once the chopped break feels good, print it to audio. Create a new audio track, set the input to resampling, arm it, and record your loop in real time. This is a huge workflow move in Ableton. It lets you capture the sound as a finished audio performance, which makes editing faster and the vibe more committed. And here's a good teacher tip: record a little longer than you think you need. That gives you extra tails, little transition bits, and maybe even a reverse hit later on. Tiny details like that can save you when arranging. Now that you have a printed version, let's make the mids dusty. On the resampled clip, try a new chain. EQ 8. Then saturator, maybe a little reduxed, and auto filter if you want movement. Roll off some top end if the sample feels too clean. A little saturator drive, maybe around 2 to 6 dB, can help bring out that worn sampled character. If you use redux, keep it subtle. You're going for dusty and alive, not crushed and broken. A nice sound design trick here is to keep the crunch in the mids, not the sob. That's what gives you that sample jungle feel. The transients stay readable, but the body of the break has that slightly aged, dublate kind of texture. If you go too far, it turns into noise, so always keep checking whether the snare still cuts through. At this point, don't just think loop, think roll. A break roll is not supposed to sit there unchanged. It should evolve. Duplicate your two-bar idea into a four-bar phrase and make small, intentional changes. Maybe remove one kick in bar 3 to create tension. Maybe add a snare flam or an extra ghost note in bar 4. Maybe automate the filter to open gradually across the phrase. Even a tiny change like shortening one slice by a few milliseconds can make the groove feel more urgent. That's one of the biggest beginner lessons here. Tiny edits matter more than huge ones. A well-placed snare or a slightly earlier ghost note often does more than adding more processing. If you want to make the loop feel more modern and clear in a full track, layer it with a clean top drum element. That could be a crisp snare, a light hat layer, or a very subtle kick layer if your break needs support. Keep it simple. Use EQ to make space so the layers don't fight. The break can carry the body and groove, while the top layer adds definition. If you group the drum layers, a light glue compressor can help them stick together. Just a touch of compression, not too much. We're trying to glue the kit, not squeeze the life out of it. Now let's talk about the low end, because this is where a lot of beginner drum and bass arrangements fall apart. A break roll can sound huge on its own, but in a real mix it has to make space for the sub. If you're adding a sub or a re-space underneath, high pass the break so the low end stays controlled. Somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz is often a good starting point, depending on the sample and the bass line. Keep the kick, snare, and sub centered. Use width only on texture, ambience, or higher percussion. If the groove starts getting blurry, collapse it back and simplify. In DNB, clarity in the low end is everything. Now use automation to turn the loop into a proper build. Great automation targets are auto filter cutoff, saturator drive, drum bus drive, or even a little track volume lift on the last fill. A classic move is to start darker and then slowly open the filter as the phrase progresses. Or do the opposite. Thin the break out as the drop approaches, then slam back into full range on the downbeat. That contrast is what makes the drop hit harder. You do not need a giant riser every time. Sometimes the drums themselves are the riser. Another really useful workflow tip is to print variations early. Make one version that's dry and punchy. Make another that's darker and more filtered. Make a third that has extra crunch or a different fill. Then place those versions in different sections of the arrangement. Maybe the intro gets the filtered one, the build gets the rising one, and the drop switch up gets the gritty one. This is how you start thinking like an arranger, not just a loop maker. A good arrangement might look like this. The first two bars establish the groove, the next two bars add density, then the final two bars strip or tighten right before the drop. You can even create a short drum-only section, where the listener locks onto the break before the bass enters. That makes the drop feel bigger without needing more sound design. And here's a really strong old-school DNB idea. Use alternate endings. End one bar with a snare flam. End the next with a missing kick. End another with a tiny reverse slice into the downbeat. Those little variations keep the roll from sounding copy-pasted. If the break feels weak, don't immediately reach for more plugins. First check the sample choice, the timing, and the slice placement. In old-school drum and bass, a strong snare and smart placement matter more than heavy processing. If those fundamentals are right, the rest becomes much easier. Also, listen at low volume sometimes. That's a great reality check. If the rhythm still reads clearly when the track is quiet, the groove is probably strong enough to survive in a full mix. So let's recap the core flow. Choose a strong break. Warp it carefully with transients preserved. Chop it into playable slices. Build a simple two-bar roll with kicks, snares, and ghost notes. Shape the transient punch with drum bus and EQ. Resample the results so you can commit to the sound. Add saturation and subtle degradation to get dusty mids. Make a four-bar arrangement with small changes and automation. Keep the low end controlled so the sub owns the bottom. That's the recipe for a classic jungle-flavor DNB break roll that still feels current in Ableton Live 12. For your practice, spend 10 to 20 minutes building one 4-bar break roll from a single sample, then make three versions, one clean and punchy, one dusty and printed, and one with a transition filler filter move. Keep the low end under control, save your versions as you go, and listen back in mono. If you can make one break sample do all three jobs, intro, build, and drop switch up, you're on the right path. That's the lesson. Now go chop that break, print it, dirty it up just enough, and make it roll.